Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
When it comes to placing the blame for global warming, we can only blame we humans because we, with our great genius and inventive capacity, have built the great cities and the elegant cars and the billions of neat things and wrenched the coal and oil from the ground and tied it all together with a digitally interconnected, interdependent world of commerce, war, and we the toolmakers, the definition of humanness, or so we say. But the myth of the toolmakers is being challenged by other toolmakers not of the human species. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News. Thanks to the wonders of globalization, I have listeners from all over the world. It's truly amazing, and it's exciting. And this last week, I opened up a short email with the following message. Dear Wildside News, I think you may find the following site interesting. It shows video clips of crows using bread to fish. This is a unique form of tool using previously unknown in crows. Yours, Dr. Oren Hassan, Tel Aviv. So I followed the link and read the material from Dr. Hassan, and I'm thrilled to be able to reveal this amazing observation by one of my listeners, who kindly agreed to let me bring this story to you. Now, scientists for a very long time believed that animals were incapable of making or using tools. Tool use, that is, using something from the environment, either naturally occurring or crafted by the animal, to serve a useful function, was considered a defining characteristic of humanness. But then laboratory experimenters began to provide observations that certain animals, especially chimpanzees and primates, were capable of using a tool to meet their needs. The classic example of a chimpanzee using a stick to knock down or pull over some bananas that were out of reach. It suggested an adaptive capacity to apply some level of logic and reason on the part of animals to control their world. And once certain scientists acknowledged these findings, well, then others followed. But the examples of tool using, in all honesty, are few and far between. Many people have seen the videos of chimpanzees stripping leaves down to the stem with their mouths and then using the spine of a leaf to lure ants out of an anthill, which were then nibbled off by the chimps. And that amazing series of experiments with New Caledonian crows from the South Pacific island chain unquestionably demonstrate the capacity for crows on this island to craft a variety of tools from twigs, which they used for, again, pulling food or pushing food to eat. In a most amazing example, captured on video, a Caledonian crow takes a straight piece of wire which wouldn't work to get him his food, then holds it with one foot and bends it around a curved surface to make a hook with which he could pull his food from the tube. And there are a few other examples, but they are few and far between. So new discoveries have great significance in the world. Well, today, I'm happy to share with you an amazing example of tool use and conceivably making by, once again, crows, in this case, from Tel Aviv. Crows are considered in the scientific world right at the top of the animal kingdom for their capacity to solve complex problems, and certainly making tools is a complex behavior for most animals. Dr. Oren Hassan is trained as an animal behaviorist, so probably cannot keep himself from watching the world through this prism. What Dr. Hassan observed while talking to a friend while sitting on a bench in a public park, well, I'd like to read his story. This is from his website, describing how his discovery came about. I was lucky enough to sit one afternoon with a friend of mine by a small circular pool about 15 meters in diameter in a park in Ramat Gan, a city neighboring Tel Aviv. Then a hooded crow came by, landed on a lamp in the center of the pool just above the water with a piece of bread in its bill. It put the bread under its leg and started to shred it to pieces, putting the crumbs in the water, then retrieving the wet crumbs and eating them. I thought that was pretty neat, and showed it to my non-biologist friend. The crow finished eating the bread and left the pool. However, based on the crow's focus of attention, I suspected there was more in that behavior than met the eye. Luckily, my friend and I were engaged in a long conversation. About an hour and a half later, the same or another crow arrived also with a piece of bread in its bill to the very same lamp, doing the same thing. However, this time, while doing this, it suddenly stuck its head in the water and grabbed a fish, a small cichlid. It then took off with the fish in its bill and landed on the grass to eat it. This was something special. Crows and ravens are known to be very clever, but this was beyond what I knew is known about them. The minimum I could do, therefore, was to visit this place a few more times, document the phenomenon, and try to make an estimate of the extent this behavior was spread among the dense crow community living in that park. Dr. Hassan then assembled some professional video equipment and was able to capture two stunningly well-documented video clips, one of the crow bait fishing without catching a fish, and the second in which the bird actually succeeds in luring a fish to its bread bait, then grabs it quickly from the water. I have links on today's website, and you will definitely want to watch each one. Dr. Hassan continues to describe his approach. So here are my brief conclusions. In addition to this particular pool, there is a large artificial pond in the park in which there are many fish. Fishermen regularly arrive to this pond to fish little egrets, night herons, pied kingfishers, kingfishers, and white-throated kingfishers are among the common fish-eating birds that hunt fish in it, and there are a number of places that could be used by crows as a perch to catch fish. So there was a chance that many crows practiced this behavior, depending perhaps on how long ago it was first learned. To test this, I spread slices of bread all over the park to see how crows handle them. The result was that crows do what crows do, namely, they ate all pieces of bread on the spot. It was only near that particular small pool that I have seen this phenomenon again. As this was at the beginning of the crow's breeding season, and as there were two nests that were built at the time on two adjacent sycamore trees next to the pool, I suspected, by following these unmarked crows, that there was only a single crow, possibly two, one of each nest, which are using the bait fishing technique. One way or another, it was a rare phenomenon. Altogether, my own bait, slices of bread spread around the pool, worked well. I have seen about 10 crows attempt to use bread bait to lure fish, all on the very same perch, and 4 of them were successful. I managed to document 2 of them with my 200mm camera, and the other with a very good digital video camera recorder that I rented for this purpose. Given my equipment, and given that the crow was not tame enough to fish when I was at the edge of the pool, the only way I could do this was by leaving the VCR continuously recording on a tripod while watching the pool from a distance. The two files that I put here are the result of this low-tech effort. One shows an unsuccessful attempt, the other a successful one, pretty much like the first time I saw the crows doing it. Observations were made during March 2000, except for the time I used video, which is on April 5th, 2000. Final words from Dr. Hassan. Bait fishing behavior is now almost certainly extinct among the park's crows population. The small pool has been empty for several years, and when there was water in it, its level was sometimes too low to reach from the perch, or had no fish in it. Hence, my documentation is probably the only one available for such an amazing behavior of wild crows. Dr. Hassan expands on his original research on his website at www.orenhassan.com/EN. I'll repeat that, www.orenhassan.com/EN. I have links to Dr. Hassan's website on today's show page, where you can see these excellently produced videos of these behaviors in which you can compare an unsuccessful bait fishing versus a successful bait fishing by the crow. I believe this will become soon a textbook example of tool use in animals. I congratulate Dr. Hassan for his phenomenal observational acumen, his professional approach to documenting such, and personally wish to thank him for bringing it to my attention. I believe that animals are extremely complex and capable of amazing behaviors. I, like Dr. Hassan, am an animal behaviorist by nature, and therefore pay close attention to the animals around me. And when I observe something out of the ordinary, I pay very close attention. I have two original observations that I'm going to share with you. One involves flies, yes, the common fly, and the other involves ants. Today, I want to share my ant story and video, and at another time, I'll tell the story of the flies. A couple years back, rather late at night, I was in my art studio in San Diego when I noticed a stream of ants traveling along the front edge of my metal sink. Something, however, caught my eye, something unusual about their behavior. So I began looking more carefully and discovered something almost comical. There was one ant getting a lot of attention because she was stuck to the sink. And quite specifically, only her two hind feet were stuck like glue to the sink. I watched for some time. Sometimes one ant would take the lead, tugging here and there, tapping its feelers all over. Then at times others would join in, each one assessing the situation and offering their strategy to get this ant's feet unstuck. At a certain point, I got my video camera and began recording the event, and thanks to the macro lens, was able to get very close. I posted a rather lengthy version of the video, over 30 minutes, which you can click to see. It's amazing how human this story becomes, as the stuck ant allows its comrades to pull and pull and tug and pull for well over an hour to no avail. At times, the little ant seems so humanesque, and its struggle so exhausting, that it stirs very human feelings for this individual ant. But more to the point, one has to marvel at the efforts by the series of rescuers. It's amazing to see what appears to be some very critical observation by these rescuers, which includes such things as tracing the victim's hind leg with their jaws down to the point where the foot is stuck. It is also amazing to watch as an ant grabs the victim carefully by the neck and pulls to the point where you're sure the poor ant will break. At times, after considerable efforts, an ant will give up, and the poor victim lies vanquished and forlorn and exhausted. Then we see new ants come up and begin to revive it with various grooming and perhaps even feeding. And throughout the entire process, the ant is never injured by its helpers, as if they know the limits. There is a surprise ending that tells a wholly different and amazing ending to the whole story. And I have to admit that for a while after my encounter with the ant, I had an entirely different feeling about them, which unfortunately has drifted with time. I titled the piece Compassion Ants, because that is definitely the feeling it gives to me. So I encourage you to click on the link for Compassion Ants, and of course for Bait Fishing Crows, and form your own opinions. And I also have a link to send me an email with your comments, which I certainly appreciate. As we become ever more isolated from close communion with the wild creatures, it becomes ever more acceptable to lose our sense of wonder towards these miraculous beings, be they chimpanzees, crows, and even ants. And yet, their individual struggles are in so many ways so similar to our own, which just goes to make the point that this world is in reality an infinitely complex, interconnected, interdependent, billions-year-old miracle. It's a new perspective on globalization. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again next Thursday or any time on the archives when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.